second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. If you need John Deere products or...
For Ag or Turf
or whatever, if it's green, did you know they make bicycles? I mean, you can get pretty much...
They're
into everything.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a bicycle painted green called John Deere, though, is it?
No.
They really make it?
Oh, they make it.
Huh,
yeah.
I know.
But, yeah, go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake. And they've got pretty good inventory right now. But the shortage, the ugly face of shortage
is reared its nasty head.
Yeah. We're starting to run into some availability issues. But they do have inventory right now. Go up and see them. Or give them a call. Their number is 226-9226. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And, you know, you should probably take care of your mower that you have that maybe you've been abusing and letting the blades run. You should be nicer to your mower.
Be nice to your mower. Because even with California getting ready to ban a lot of that stuff, the old ones... They have great value right now, so fix them up and take care of them because you may have to hang on to it for a little while.
Yep.
So,
well, we are having a chat this morning with Dr. Tom Andrews about mass psychosis, and I wanted to point out on the site today. It's May 1st, 2022, and on that page for today, I did put a YouTube video. Tom didn't make it, but I'm sure he thought it was fun. It's called The Killing of the Mind, Mass Psychosis, How an Entire Population Kind of Falls Prey to This. I wanted to see how long it was. It's very short. It's like 20 minutes, maybe less. And it's very well done. Yeah, 21 minutes. It's worth watching because it's really thought-provoking. It's one of those things where I don't care where you are on the issue of all the things that have happened in the last 2 years. Take a look at that and see if that doesn't kind of open your eyes a little bit or at least make you want to ask some questions.
Have some independent thoughts.
It's a pretty interesting idea on how that works. And, you know, growing up in the East and going to Salem and studying the Salem witch trials, because, you know, every kid in the East studies Salem witch trials and kids out here study California missions. So all your study out here.
Yeah, we get to learn about Sutter's Fort.
Yeah,
you get to learn about the.
We were inundated
with the revolution.
With the revolution and.
There was a revolution.
And we got to go to all the spots too. Interesting because when you looked at that as a kid, it's like, well, how could this even happen?
Yeah.
This must have been just some like moment in craziness that could never take place again.
Well, when it took off, and I mean, we really started seeing the effects of this. I was kind of shocked at how quickly society changed. I mean, it wasn't overnight, but it was within months. There was a completely new mindset out there about what Tom had mentioned, safety and health and fear.
So we thought, who better to have than our local psychiatrist to come in? What do we call it? Decode. Put us on the couch, Tom.
Yes.
tell us what we know. Back to the couch.
Back to the couch. Well, you know, I there's almost like a COVID stress syndrome now because of the condition. Huh? They even have a test you can take.
Really?
Yeah. You could get your CSS scores. CSS scores. But there's three types of personality types that are dealing with it that they found, and certain types, which we won't go into detail at this time, but can deal with it better than other types. Those who are more sociable and who are able to still maintain some social contact are the ones that do the best, you know.
So walling yourself away
is not good.
Not the good choice.
No. And those who are physically more active, they do better too. Fresh air, sunshine. Those are natural ways to enhance your immune system. So those are very important to maintain too.
And that's one of the things they didn't want you to do.
Well, see, this is what, you know, I know the news station came on and asked me some questions, and they did give some of those ideas. But I felt that needed to be in a public health way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the public health officer is under some scrutiny now, but I think more leadership should have been done there in prevention,
right,
and helping people prevent COVID.
Well, I think
promoting that they do those things
that would promote.
Well, I think if they try to, scare us again with another outbreak, I think a lot of that's going to come up.
Right.
But, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
What about getting out, getting some fresh air, do a little vitamin D? I mean, just I don't think it's going to be quite so easy to convert people over
we were
to
wrong
hiding in the bunker again.
We were wrong on the other one. Is it going to be easy the second time, Tom?
I think the second time is going to be worse. I'll tell you why I think it's going to be worse.
Oh, suck at this. Damn. We have like no hit.
I know it.
Tom, we're coming for your job. Obviously,
I'm not helping reduce the fear and anxiety. But no, I think if it's going to be the virus next time, it's going to be one of the more deadly viruses.
Right.
That's what I think. I don't think people have learned from COVID how to be safe, hand washing, to do things, some distancing, fresh air exercise, those things, taking vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin can help. If you're in certain countries, like I love going to Panama. Panama would give people who are diagnosed with COVID, they would give them ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, whatever they had, and they would send it home to them and their families, and they would take, some of the families would take it prophylactically too.
Oh, okay.
And their death rate's well below what our death rate is. And they did much better controlling the outbreaks than we did.
At the break, we were talking about the death rate in countries that are vaccinated versus unvaccinated countries. Talk to us about that.
Well, there was of course, you're comparing a little bit of apples and oranges as far as genetic, but you had the people of Chad, they had a death rate. I think the population was similar to Australia's population, and they had a 2% vaccination rate to about 3%, and they had 2,500 deaths to 3,500 deaths, I think I recall. Australia's had an 80% vaccination rate, and they've had a 250,000 a loss of life there. So we're talking huge numbers difference, and you can see on a chart the astronomical rate of death and vaccinate parallels as it goes up. So is the vaccine carrying something that is contributing to anything, or is it just the fact that they're relying solely on the vaccine instead of getting the fresh air, the exercise, and those things that the African people who don't have as many, they don't have cars, very few,
right?
And they walk everywhere,
they're outside
they're getting a lot of vitamin D,
fresh
air, and they're eating simple foods, so their chance of getting sick or less. For instance, in Spanish flu, some of the people who practice keeping the people with Spanish flu in tents outside, and they kept them, and in Africa they do too. If you get sick with COVID, you're outside. You're in a tent. You're not inside in a confined space, and you're not rebreathing your air. Mm-hmm. And so they had much better results in Spanish flu. People were having, 5-6% mortality rates. They were having like only 1%.
So how does that play in the mental health picture when those sorts of things, that information is not being widely pushed out, obviously, but you can't hide everything.
No.
So as people start to kind of piece this together after the fact, are we, does that help with a future issue, or does that just weaken them for a future issue and just create all sorts of doubt and uncertainty?
I think that if you show information like that, it will make them think. And they will talk, but they still, because of their fear and their sense of personal safety and the issue that I mentioned earlier, how in our society we have helped and the vulnerable. And so the idea of you have to take care of my vulnerability,
we're responsible for everyone else's.
Right. Okay. So then that tends to, and our own. And so that tends to overwhelm us with, that is the concerning factor. And so you may not have the objectivity you need to look at science and to look at that because the emotions are so strong.
Hmm.
Okay, so if we have friends and family, for instance, we've talked about this at the 30,000-foot level. So how about the people in our house, in our office, in our friend group or whatever? Are we doing that at the end? Am I leaping ahead?
Oh, I think we'll get to that in a little bit towards the end.
All right.
But
felt myself leaping ahead. So.
Yeah, thanks. Slow down.
Put on my reins.
Well, what concerns me most is with this pandemic is the larger picture, and that's the larger picture of dealing with people who enjoy the power of the control and the lockdown. That is what more concerns me. Again, I'm big on choice.
Yeah.
And that's why I love our country and the freedom we have, because there's a sense of choice. But you go to other countries and they're not used to that, so they're more willing to sacrifice some of that
right.
freedom and liberty for safety. But I think if you accept the responsibility for yourself, then and then you practice things that will keep other people generally safe, that is an appropriate way of doing it. But there are people who see this as an opportunity. Any crisis is a golden opportunity. You've heard James Carville say that, but other people mm-hmm. have said it. One of the biggest proponents about it is Klaus Schwab. He has a book out called COVID-19, The Great Reset. And he, interestingly enough, he had promoted his fourth industrial revolution concepts, which relate also to that. But it's the concept that nations are going to work together cooperatively to solve this problem. And he says the absolute prerequisite for a proper reset is greater collaboration and cooperation within and between countries. He has a fellow who his name is Yuval Noah Harari, and he's kind of the top spokesperson for Klaus Schwab, and tends to be an interesting fellow who Israeli. He's a historian, and he has spoken at Davos meetings and other meetings. But his big thing is he said that you will see that we will look back and realize that this great reset occurred at the time of COVID-19. It will be the beginning of the digitalization of the world, including your money, your ID, and your freedoms, the social credit score.
Mm-hmm.
That this is where the beginning happens. And that's my greater concern. That are
how
we,
this is used as a lever.
How is this used as a lever to turn the large stone of our society and our democracy and our republic.
And mm-hmm. we're starting to see some of that already. I mean, yeah. there's the
whole... Mary Poppins running the Ministry of Disinformation.
Well, that in itself is
I still like
pretty
Mary Poppins, though. She was very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I want us to be educated and not fall into lines with this common goal. He calls it shared internationality. But this basically, it's where the borders all come down. We're all one happy family.
Oh.
You know? And just like it came out that the WHO was going to be able to countermand, they want this legislation from the UN to countermand independent countries from what they set aside as ways to treat pandemics. So that sort of stuff smacks of totalitarianism, and it's not a good picture. I understand global cooperation and it working together as a team, but they see the four existential risks as nuclear threats, climate change, unsustainable use of resources, forests, seafood, topsoil, and fresh water. The consequences of the enormous differences in standard of living between the world's peoples. But the thing is, the standard of living is good for, not good for them. It's good for you. That's how this global order is.
Sure.
And they refer to themselves as elites and things like that. So.
Well, the funny part of it is, if you think about it, we can't even in our own communities, and I don't care where you live or how big your town is or, you know, what you considered even to be your community, whether it's your county or your part of your side of town, we can't even decide who's good to, you know, who's the best person to run it, who's got the best ideas. You don't even have 100% participation at a very small local level. No. I guarantee you, if we all went and created Neighborhood Watch, there would be a runoff and a fight.
Did we ever get any international surveys? There was a poll in England that said a majority of people want fundamentally to alter the economy as it recovers. He says 1/4 are wanting it to return as how it was. I'm not sure I was included in any survey in the U.S. for that, but
that's always the thing. Hey, wait a minute,
who's doing the survey?
Yeah, who called me?
But it says that large majority of citizens of the world, their main thing out of all this economic recovery from the coronavirus is to prioritize climate change. Is that what we want?
That's the number one threat now.
That's in the back of that's the last page of this book. Of
wow.
COVID-19.
Yeah.
So and to support a green recovery. And how we're going to prioritize our collective well-being, And,
yeah, you kind of lose me on that one.
How we're going to scuttle society and the world for like this one thing that nobody agreed on.
Yes.
And how are you ever going to get everybody to agree on that, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, when they say all decisions are local.
I mean, you have all these cultures.
That person might have been smart.
We're not seeing even the EU's as a united front. Hungary doesn't agree with the rest of Europe.
And they've put them in a bad position.
Yes, they did.
When you look at their fuel decisions and some of those things, they've backed these folks into the corner.
Right, and they're finding them.
We have to take another quick break. But I did find some really solid medical advice. And, you know, so I found a song for it. So, you know,
okay.
So you won't have to be the only doctor on the show.
Good.
We found Harry Nielsen
from
down under there. Give us some tips. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Coconut, he bought it for the diamond sister. Hiding another one, she painted for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut. She drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut. She called a doctor, woke him up and said, "Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take?" I said, "Doctor, to relieve this bellyache." I said, "Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take?" I said, "Doctor."
Who is it?
Well, you can listen to our show more often because, you know, we've kind of got a good blend here. We've got the stuff that might make you go over the edge, but while you're going over, you'll have a good time and get some free information.
A laugh on the way down, by golly.
A little chuckle on the way over.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we have this perfect setup to sort of corral everybody, what does that look like?
Well,
is that a good segue for you?
Yeah, it is a good segue. I mean, here you have this Great Reset, and the attempts at the Great Reset are to, as I said, to get nation states to collaborate. But it's much deeper than that, because there is a attempt on the governments to cooperate, because there is a sense of fear that the problems will only escalate if they don't cooperate. And I appreciate that, and I certainly think there should be government cooperation at some level. But what I'm concerned about is how the message isn't being shared equitably and isn't shared in a way that others can be aware of all the facts.
It's not a discussion.
It's not a discussion. Yeah. It's just like this is a fact. You can go to the history books. Operation Mockingbird under Alan Dulles, the CIA, did a propaganda campaign in the early 50s because they're afraid of Russia and they're afraid of communism and things like that. So for $1 billion, they hired ABC, NBC, CBS, New York Times, Associated Press, and 3,000 CIA operatives, hired over 400 journalists. And this was known, and the government reviewed this, and this domestic operation supposedly was shut down in 76. the Trusted News Initiative, the same thing happened in England. And they used the BBC. And anything that they used the same Trusted News Initiative, and anything that actively was against the government's position on COVID, they actively censored eminent doctors and stopped basically any contravening officials from saying anything and labeled it as disinformation or misinformation. And if it didn't align with the WHO,
right,
World Health Organization. Right. So these are things that concern me as a psychiatrist. And basically, you know, if you review Goebbels or Hitler's basic principles of controlling the information to the public, they used Agence France-Presse. They did BBC. They did the European Broadcasting. They did Hindu Broadcasting. They did Microsoft. New York Times, Reuters, Twitter, YouTube, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, all were in on this attempt to control what was getting out. So that's
and that, I don't think most people would be shocked by that.
No.
Although they might say, "Oh, they're not doing that," but I think even the people that would dispute that, I think in the back of their mind they know that that's actually not real.
Well, see, the World Health Organization was formed in 1971, and Klaus Schwab has been its leader since. He was encouraged to do it by Kissinger and others, and so he did this. And basically they have a young global leaders group, and they train global leaders. There's 600 people they've trained that are all over the world now in key positions in many governments. One government in point, and they even... Klaus Schwab bragged about it, was Canada. He says we have over 50% of the people in the government that are...
Well, that's not obvious or anything.
Wow. Yeah.
So
totally can't tell by their policies that that's happened.
Really well.
And so they shut, and then that's when they shut down the money from the banks for those who were protesting. And when they found out that people decided to withdraw their money from the bank, then they decided, whoa, that wasn't such a good... They kind of jumped the shark on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they removed that back from the people. So the banks now are open to them. But now their plan is to go full board digital currency, right? So if you have digital currency, then you can shut down.
Much easier.
You can do that.
Control.
You can have much easier control. And so... our government is also, you've seen on the news, mainstream news, 270 days from the time I think Biden made the announcement in end of February, March, to have Congress get back to him about a digital currency
mm-hmm.
by the end of this year.
Right.
So does that make you feel comfortable?
It does. That totally makes me feel better.
I thought that would make you
I'm completely going to sleep easier tonight.
Yeah. And, they've talked about an environmental, social, and governance metrics as kind of a beginning of a credit score for the United States. So that's another issue. These are things that I think we need to be aware of as a people and protect our country. I think, I underestimated the number. I said 600 people. That's who Schwab said he had in the Western. There's 4,000 alumni since 1992 who have been trained at the Young Global Leaders Conference based on, and their program's agenda is not divulged. So we don't know what it is.
Really?
Yep. They don't
Nobody
know.
Squealed?
No one squealed.
Oh, that's never a good sign. Somebody always squeals. They found a bunch of non-squealers. You're in trouble.
Well, one thing is known. Global corporatism and social engineering are the main two linchpins of that of their plan. So that's what they're trying to do.
Well, any time somebody wants to tell you what you have to do but doesn't ask you first, and it isn't like a speed, because you always get the argument that, well, we have speed limits, we have laws,
right.
We're being told what to do all the time, we have to pay the price of a certain product, we don't get to just run up and toss them a penny and walk, well, we kind of do now, get to walk out the door. But, there's that. But those are things we've all agreed to. We all agreed on that.
Well, yeah, as a society, you have to have rules.
We have rules and rails, but this stuff is stuff we haven't agreed to necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of being cooked up in the back room, and then suddenly you find it coming like a fog bank, and then it's too late. And then you get to stay home now. You're not allowed to go out,
exactly.
Or you're not allowed to have a job, or your kid can't go to school, or.
Well, and this Yuval Noah Harari says basically that this reset is a global technocratic biosecurity state. He basically says we're going to digitalize all your information, digitalize mm-hmm. all that, and you we'll take care of you, basically, and you'll be safer for it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they tell
you. I feel safer already just hearing that from you. Just even hearing that out loud makes me feel safer.
But I think, they use public overstated COVID and other public health crises to push through these measures. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's, again, a person should have a choice. And you don't want to end up in a two-tiered economy where you have the majority below one level, kind of socialism for us, and monopolies and control and freedom
right.
and capitalism for them.
Right, right.
But that's what's going to be. It's going to be,
sure.
I call it modern-day feudalism.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the whole COVID was a grand experiment on their part to see how far they could push society and how much society would follow their instructions. And I think we did real well. I think we
unfortunately, I think we passed.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we just fell right in line, and which I think gives them the green light for
to kind of like try it out a little more. But yeah. You know, okay, from the so now, you know, back on the couch with your psychiatrist hat on. Tell me this. When we go home at night, you lock your own front door. Your neighbor doesn't come over and do it. You don't look out the window and make sure your neighbor's watching because they're going to watch out for you. Not that they're not nice people. They might be great people. They might be policemen, for heaven's sakes. But we just inherently, most of us, take care of our own stuff. You know, we look out for our own, not to the detriment of other people, not I'm going to go steal your stuff and keep it all for me, but we look out for ourselves. And the idea that it's like, stop looking out for yourself because I'm going to do it for you, that's a really hard corner, I think, as this big plan. If I was going to pick a flaw, there's the flaw.
Yeah.
Most people are like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't ask you to take care of me. Do people fall for that? Are they going to like that?
Again, people, if they're feeling insecure and they buy that mass formation psychosis concept that if I don't do it this way and my leader says I need to do it, then many people will buy into that because they'll be convinced that their safety, security, and their role that they have in the community is hinged on that, and they will go along with it.
Okay. That makes sense.
They mean it to an independent person who thrives it and it's important for them to have that freedom, it won't make sense. But to the majority that are believing this, and then they're getting misinformation. There was a Gordon Rayner who is from the Telegraph, and he said that scientists on a committee that encouraged the use of fear to control people's behavior during the COVID pandemic have admitted its work was unethical and totalitarian.
Mm.
Mm.
So he was a reporter that said this in the.
What
in this,
works?
That was a May 14th, 21 article.
What works better, the hard push, the you will do, the edicts, or the you're going to kill your grandma if you don't get the shot?
I
realize it appeals to different people, but
I think the subtle way is you push the mantra. The vaccines work, whether they do or don't. You're going to benefit others if you do it. And the leader who's saying this keeps saying it. And then they say all this other stuff is misinformation. That's the technique that works.
So the hardcore is sort of on the side that they deny doing.
Those are the last ones that won't do it. I mean, for instance, I had a friend of mine who was very adept at doing the work for this company, national company, billion-dollar company, and was instrumental in getting funds for their company to grow and was instrumental in their stocks growing. This one person was that important, and she was asking for a religious exemption, and she didn't get it. And they were going to fire her, so then she told the powers to be at some of these companies that she had gotten financing for them from, and they said, They wrote letters to the CEO saying, you guys are nuts. What are you doing? This person is the best person we ever had. And that didn't even help. The only thing that helped her was she was in a state that did not mandate vaccines. And they filed against the government and just happened to file at that right moment. Otherwise, she would have been out of a job.
Wow.
Cut the nose off to spite your face there.
So here's the thing. When I said that there's a corporate globalist that are trying to control the majority of the population, there is a corporate and government entities that are agreeing to these methods, and they're hardline, and they're sticking to it. And so whether it's Sony, whether it's Fox, whether it's this company,
Disney,
whatever it is, they are hardcore on it, and they're going to agree with the globalist agenda, and they're going to go with this because the globalists are promising, but this is the best way to reset. This is the best way to go forward.
And you guys will be in charge.
You'll have
a lion's share.
You'll get the goodies from this. This is, you know, fascism 101. This is where it's going. And it's really a dangerous thing when you look at this. I mean, it's one thing for public health, for government, for the health of the citizenry, but it's getting convoluted and enmeshed with this attempt to global reset us. And when that happens, it's never good because now governments are being manipulated.
Sure.
And now the data from scientists or from science is not being evaluated fairly. And this is where the danger is for our society.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the meantime, down at the ground level, you have people like my sister who teaches fourth grade, and she's trying to teach. Her kids came back to class, 10 minus 8. And this kid said it was 0 because 0 minus 8 is 0. And she's like, okay, that's not actually how that works. it was so crazy. She's like, how could this kid who is now in the fourth grade have been out long enough and disconnected enough that 10 minus 8 didn't mean anything? There was no significance there that had to have a value. And she thought, that's not everybody, no, obviously. No,
like
some
I
kids
said,
worked
like,
on this stuff all
like
through
Like I said, they're saying that the loss of productivity in our society and the effect of children being denied these last 2 years, they're estimating in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Evil genius hat is like, perfect.
Right.
You know,
right.
These guys are going to be the wave of the future.
Yeah, we can control emotionally, not intellectually.
Big time.
And that's all we want.
Yeah,
no,
I read an article that basically said the same thing, that the people that went out because of COVID, didn't want to work, were afraid of getting sick and took the money, stayed home. The cost of retraining them now, they've been out so long, you know, things move on, and now the cost of retraining these people and putting them back in the same exact position they had before is off the chart.
Yeah, because you're not in the same spot you were before.
Right. Exactly. And one more point on the teaching.
Yeah.
Australia and Victoria, they're planning to release 2,500 teachers because they won't get the third booster. So that means they're going to be fired, but what teachers are going to be there?
Yeah, right. We just drop them. We have a little factory. We just make them. And
And more importantly, though, the teachers that are going to be there are the ones that did get the third booster. So who is going to give the true story about...
Yeah, who's delivering the message.
Who's delivering the message.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got rid of the circus, and I guess we probably did that for a reason. We wouldn't want any comparisons left alive on the earth. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to come right back. Our guest is Dr. Tom Andrews. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
There's one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
I need a sign to let me know you're here, 'cause my TV set just keeps it on.
Yeah, because that's who's going to save us at the end of the day. It isn't going to be government, and it isn't going to be, it's going to take I'm guessing the solution to this is it's going to take everybody. People are going to have to actually step up on their own. And
mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think the choice in our society is to realize how important freedom is. And we must not cede our fundamental rights of privacy guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. That means we don't have digital passports. That means we don't have digital currencies. We don't have social credit scores.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, otherwise, we're headed towards a totalitarian state. So
right.
You can worry about that. We can all have mass psychosis formates from that. But I'm not going to let that happen to me because I trust in a power greater than me. So that's my stick. I like a stick.
And we spoiler alerted at the beginning. Nobody's getting out alive. So
that's right. That's right.
we pretty much definitively honed that in. But what can you know? Like if you have people come in that are just super super stressed out about this, you know, what's some I don't know. Just
yeah.
We've kind of talked about it a little bit. You know, yeah. Go for a walk, eat right, that yeah. kind of stuff. Yeah. But
we'll kind of touch on that. You know, like I said earlier, the brain produces brain-derived neurotrophic factors, BDNF factors, and those factors are important for signaling and transmitting the cell. But and it's very important for having us to be able to use our memory, to use our higher thought, and it helps us deal with fears, anxiety, and problem solving. But when the stress is too great, when it gets too high, then a signal, brain signal, is transmitted to the DNA in the brain cells for both the neurons and the white cells, which produce BDNF, that turns off the gene that produces BDNF. And now we're like, wow, my state of a little bit of hopelessness. Once this gene is turned off, the brain volume actually shrinks in the hippocampus. Which is the memory area. And that memory area, while you're sleeping at night, proteins are elicited to lay down memories in the forebrain, in the front of your head. And that's what the hippocampus does at night while you sleep. That's important to get your sleep. But if you're sitting there worrying all night, not sleeping, not getting your rest, then your memory isn't working as efficiently. But once this gene is turned off, though, that prefrontal cortex will lead to depression. So that's and so one of our treatments in psychiatry is to do TMS, which is transmagnetic stimulation of the brain, where we actually stimulate the prefrontal cortex, the dorsal lateral portion of the left side.
And what does that?
A machine that we have that gives magnetic pulses. So it treats depression in about 35 treatments and 80% response rate. And,
wow. Don't have to take medication for the rest of your life or
no,
any of that?
No. So it's very useful. But as we, you know, the key is that the brain will change if you do the right things for it, such as, you know, the things we'll talk about momentarily, and I mentioned the TMS. But there's a thing called neuroplasticity, and the neuroplasticity in the brain allows for adaptability, change. I mean, it's just like you learn new things, right?
Yeah, sure.
So your brain is it has neuroplasticity. It can adjust. So if you learn a piece of Mozart, you want to play it, or you want to cook a quiche, or you want to do baseball, and you want to switch hit left-handed. You know, it's something you're not used to doing, but your brain neuroplasticity will adjust to. And you can do that. But under too much stress and under the overwhelming stress of what I call this mass formation psychosis, you lose some of that brain neuroplasticity and you can't think clearly.
You just can't absorb the new stuff.
New stuff. And until it's just like in Nazi Germany when they believed and believed and believed in the Fuhrer and the Third Reich and the thousand years of greatness until all that leadership was removed, and finally the people, probably after months and months and months and years, they finally, oh, my brain's working again, and I realize what I was duped into thinking.
That's got to be a bad day when that happens.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's a...
It's a scare.
That's probably a panic phone call.
Well, it's just like some of the things, you know, I listen to, but sometimes some of the... I've heard citizens, they had a reporter in some of these towns that have been... the fighting has stopped in Ukraine. Some of the people have come out and they said, you know, now that the fighting is, you know, the one side's gone and the other side's still there, they have felt a sense of safety and peace within a few weeks.
This doesn't last forever.
But it's given that peace for, so it doesn't last forever. Right?
But, you know, I would imagine if you surround yourself with that all the time, if you're immersed in a kind of a culture of that, you create a culture for yourself.
Yes.
Of your friend group, your social group, your online group especially.
Yes.
You could feed that long beyond.
Long beyond. Long beyond. Long beyond. So, you know, here's, I always, you know, being a Christian psychiatrist, I like to look at God's method for increasing our brain health.
So he's a smart guy.
So he kind of made us. He kind of knows. unlike some people, which we'll talk, maybe I'll touch base on that one more time. Well, you know, Yuval Harari thinks he can create eternal life for us. You know, he says that in his website. Go to YN Harari, H-A-R-A-R-I, and look him up, and .com. And but Musk believes in this too. It's the idea, and he, by the way, he's part of this YGL group too. He says you can download your brain to that. He says in 5 years to 10 years, he feels that people can download their brain to this Neuralink, and that you can actually live beyond this life because then you can drop your brain into someone else.
I did a movie about that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It didn't work out very well.
No, it doesn't usually work out that well because we're here at the time that we're here for the,
right.
You know,
right.
You look at different people through history and you look at how out of place they would have been at a different time.
Right.
They were there at the exact right slot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think we're doing that.
But that's a bad idea. That's the way they think that this is the solution. And then Harari says in his website, he says, well, man in the beginning created his own, created his God. And the goal that we will have is that we will become gods. Now, when people talk that way, that's a little scary.
You think? Yeah.
It's a little scary.
Yeah. That takes that whole egomania and just, you know, blows it out of the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and people are buying into this in the higher circles. Just think if you're successful or whatever.
Yeah.
Whether it's politics or business. Or,
you are the...
Or religious leader, maybe. You're the cat's meow, and so you think, I'm going to keep going.
I'm just going to boss everybody around forever.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this going.
I'm the oldest of 5 children, and even I don't think I can keep bossing everyone around forever.
So I think God's method of increasing brain health, and nurturing mental stability, and helping our brain circuits, healthy childhood development, of course, is important. But, you know, as an adult, what can you do? How do you deal with aggression, impatience, anger, lust, selfishness, fear, insecurity, those things? So his healing is truth, love, and freedom. And I love the first one, truth.
Yeah.
Because truth does away with what? A lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does away with the lie.
The manipulation, the fear, all the things that come from that.
And all the things that these guys want to do to control us and control their power.
So what about all the people that I'm channeling in the back of my mind that are going, well, he decides to use truth? Right? So I guess if you get to decide who's truth, you can go.
Yeah.
You should have access, I guess. I guess for me, if you don't have access to objective facts and those are being withheld from you, that's your first clue that maybe there's a truth problem.
That's right. You know, as a scientist, you want to see the studies, you want to see the facts, you want to see. And why was Pfizer trying to keep it for 75 years under lock and key?
Yeah.
And the judge said, no way, you're going to bring it out.
Yeah, was it like 90 years or something?
It was 75 years. Yeah.
Was it 75 years? It was a crazy amount of time. I'm like, you know, that doesn't seem like a legit scientific thing if you have to hide the results for 75 years.
No, absolutely not. So, I mean, people need a sense of love, you know. If I remember the text in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God is not a God of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So I like that verse because it kind of helps me realize that I'm trying to help people have love. And have a sense of power, which I think truth is very empowering. And then that gives you a sound mind. And I think meditating on God and his love, you know, 15 minutes a day, spending time thinking about it, reading about it, just asking if you're a Christian, obviously Bible, if you're not a Christian, the books that give you spiritual meaning, and then talking to God, having a relationship. It's very important. And then... I think the idea of, as a child, many kids and people have been, or adults have been hurt as a child, and a lot of trauma from childhood can affect them. So typically falsehoods, like I'm ugly, I'm gross, I'm nasty, I'm dirty, I'm no good, you know.
Sure.
You can start playing those tapes. And those are falsehoods. Those are lies. Those are distortions.
But they do play in the background for people.
They
and we all know those folks.
They do.
Who have been just absolutely programmed with those sad messages that just overwhelm. You know, even when they do well, I'm not really doing well.
Right. And it's just like what we're hearing now with some of the programming of what's going to give you health. So, but you not need to replace it with truth. You know, that's what someone who was abused as a child, that's a disgusting thing that happened to you, and never are you responsible for that. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's the truth you have to believe on, and you have to, truth can be healing. So live to give. That's another good thing to do. So living a life where you learn to give for others, that takes you out of self and extends you beyond self. And then you realize you have accountability to care for others, you know, and, uh-huh. and do things.
In a non-give-up-your-rights and roll-over sort of way.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily...
That's right.
The trail
it's a voluntary activity.
Yeah, yeah. That actually benefits someone else.
That's
not,
right.
Is a big... what do we call it? Virtue signaling is our thing these days.
Exactly. Establish relationships with people of loving and mature character and terminate destructive relationships. So get away from destructive relationships if you're on, whether it's social networking.
I was gonna say, get off Facebook.
Yeah.
Just be done with it.
Right. Yeah. You may have
That's a biggie, though. I think people, where they get their information is so critical.
But I don't think it's information. I think it's where they get the validation. And so, you know, we're all angry
right.
together, you know, marching down the road on social media. It's like, wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think you should take into account both sides. But you have to have the mental fortitude to distinguish what's true and what's not true.
And no one's got the corner on that. Everybody's doing it, so...
I think we focus sometimes on the results of our choices rather than focus on the responsibility of our choices.
Yeah.
So for instance, like I think this is a Bible story. You've heard it when you're Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Yep.
They had the idol. They were all supposed to bow down to the idol. And Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow down to the idol, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. They said, well, he says, I'll give you a second chance. He'd go out there. He says, and they said, no need to give us a second chance, king. We're determined. We know our responsibility. They knew their responsibility. And so he was furious. So he heated the furnace 7 times hotter, if that could be done. And the guys that threw him in actually died from the heat. And these guys were walking around the fire. And the fourth of a guy that was in there with him looked like the Son of God. How would he know that? Because Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, this is chapter 3 of the story, chapter 2 had a vision where he saw the Son of God. So he saw the Son of God walking in the fire. And then when they came out of the fire, he told them to come out. And the only thing that burned was the ropes on them.
Mm.
And, you know, it's kind of like that in our life. If we realize that if we take responsibility for being true to God, true to ourselves, that we will then, those ropes that are binding us and holding us will be what's burned off.
Wow. What a great way to end.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. We've covered a ton of ground, and I'd be happy to link any of the citations that you used so that people could do some further reading, because now's the time to do it before we're faced with more choices again.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully...
Don't wait for critical mass.
Hopefully it gives people some tools. So, anyway, we're going to come back with you next week. We're going to talk about my favorite topic... marijuana, and what a mess that is, on the 8th of May. But today's the 1st. We're here with Tom Andrews, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't.